Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Health is in Your Hands, the radio show of the Kalyana Center in beautiful Narberth, Pennsylvania. I'm Dr. Joanna Carmichael, one of your hosts this morning, and I'm here with Nick Colasanti, our other co-host. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Joanna, and good morning, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. This is the day before Thanksgiving. It's incredible.
That's right, November 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We welcome everyone, and we are going to be talking about following up on this is our second talk on anger for this month. Today we're going to be focusing on hypnotherapy and domestic violence. Our first show was also on anger and more of what Ayurveda's perspective on anger. So today is the follow-up, and since Ayurveda and hypnotherapy are just a natural marriage together, this should be another interesting discussion, as our discussions always are, Nick.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And Joanna, before we get started, we haven't done this very often, but why don't we offer people the opportunity to call in if they like to do that? If anybody's listening, when they're listening to us live like this, if they have a question or they want to call in, the phone number is 347-996-5925. Let's say that again. It's 347-996-5925. And so if somebody calls in, it'll pop up on our screen. We'll be able to get to them then.
Right. That's a great idea. No, we should do more of that. Maybe in 2016 do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
so,
we should really.
This is an important topic. Just as recently as this morning, I was just having a conversation with someone about anger and, how damaging it is. You know, what a normal, human emotion it is. But on the other hand, if we do not learn to manage it, how detrimental and damaging it can be to not only ourselves, but other people, to our relationships. And then that just seems to trickle and become ancestral in a certain way, where we just carry things from relationship to relationship and even lifetime to lifetime, I realized, because we were talking about clearing ancestral karma and how that happens. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think anger, as you mentioned, it's a natural human emotion, and in its best form, it's protective. It's self-protective, and it can be protective of someone that we love in the event that there's some injustice that takes place. In its worst form, it can be destructive, self-destructive, destructive to others as well. Now, the feeling is natural and normal to us, but I think the way we manifest it, Joanna, is a learned behavior. I think that we learn how to manage or not manage anger from the time that we're little. For the clients that I see many times, their anger issues stem from something that was either real or perceived from when they were children, either not having a voice because their parents were overbearing and critical and harsh, and they have to stuff their feelings, and then it comes out in a rage many times, or in a really at least an extreme anger situation, or something actually happened to them, maybe an abuse situation, or somebody, either physical, sexual, or verbal. And so I think the way we manifest anger is a learned behavior. And if it is true, then we can not necessarily unlearn it, but we can learn to manifest anger in a much more healthy way than in a destructive way that we see happen, especially when it rises to the level of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you ever think, since I do past life regression work, do you ever think some of these issues come from a time even before this? I know that's a little, maybe a little woo-woo for some people, but, I can definitely attest to the fact that, the experiences I've had with people, that there are past life implications for some of these things. Do you think, like when you see an angry child and you know that they're, in a loving home and in an environment that's really nurturing, and and yet they have this anger issue. It's like, where'd you learn how to be so angry? You know,
right. Yeah.
I've heard of many situations like that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's true. I mean, first of all, when somebody comes to me for past life regression, I'm sure it's the same thing with you. I don't judge their experience. I help them through their experience. Help them enhance the experience so that they have strong memories of what they perceive of their past life. For those who believe in past lives, then I think, I think it can be something that can be carried through a past life, either as a cellular memory or as an experiential memory in some way from a past life. I think that is certainly possible. I mean, you know, and then people will come saying, I think this is old for me. Or they'll say, I think this began, you know, when I was a child. So however they express the way they perceive it, that's the way I would pursue it in a way.
Right. Yeah, I pretty much work the same way. Our whole objective is to not judge, and you know,
right.
None of us should be judging anyone else's experience. You know, just for starters, but especially as practitioners, you know, our job is not to judge, but to help and assist and just meet people where they are, which I think is really important in cultivating that sense of acceptance when people are in our office. So. Absolutely.
People say many times, Joanna, one of the indicators for me, I probably have said this in the past, I know you and I have talked about it, but when somebody says, maybe I'm doing this, maybe I'm feeling this because, that's usually a good indicator that you're at the core, at the source.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, when people say, maybe I'm acting this way because of a certain reason, well, where does that come from? Where does that conjecture come from, if not from their own internal source in a way? Now, it's not a hard and fast rule, but people will give clues to you, and they're actually giving clues to themselves without knowing that they're doing that, that here's the source of why their anger is the way it is, or where it came from, or how it got started, and things like that.
That's interesting and important, you know, and it also, to me, shows that the analysis that we go through, in other words, instead of just feeling our feelings and just saying, I'm angry, or I'm sad, or I'm, you know, this or that or the other thing, it's like, I think I'm this, I think I'm that, and we're thinking about our feeling, and I think we need to get away from that.
We need
to get away from that and just feel our feelings, because that's actually, you know, how we find expression, and that energy has expression, which is really the more important piece, that the energy of these things seeks expression, and then it doesn't need to be there anymore, because once it's there and we acknowledge it and say, I am feeling this, I am feeling this, and it's right there, and then it can be, you know, you're not denying it, you're not suppressing it, repressing it, pretending it's not there, or trying to make it something else, and then it leaves out that analytical mind chatter that really can throw us into a stress response, because it's really the mind that creates all that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can rationally, you can see an event take place and get angry at it, you know, like the, let's say the bombing in Paris. We've seen these things, people see it didn't happen to us directly, but we can see it and get angry at it because it triggers a sense of injustice, okay, or hatred towards someone who might do something so terrible to hurt other people. So it can have a logical basis, but when you actually experience it, it's a feeling, as you said. When we don't know how to feel our feelings or express those feelings in a healthy way, we start stuffing them. We get in trouble. People eat too much. They gamble. They have too much sex. They do all kinds of things to manage. They drink too much, you know, to manage a feeling that they're not sure what to do with, because they try to apply their intellect to it, and it really doesn't work. Your head can't tell your heart what to do, even though we try to do that all the time.
Right. That's well said. That's absolutely well said. Do you think there are some people who are just prone to an angry response? I know I address this, you know, what Ayurveda thinks about that. But do you think that there are people that just, it's in their constitution or in their, you know, in their inherent nature to have an angry response to things?
Well, I think the last time we talked about this, you said that anger was primarily a pitta emotion, which is the fire emotion. And so I guess on some level, you could say that. I guess in my practice, what I do is one of the questions on my intake form is asking the person whether they have a short or a long fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And typical answers and examples, somebody will say, well, it's obvious if you have a short fuse, you know what kind of person that is. It's the matchhead person. So something mm-hmm. happens and immediately there's a trigger, there's an anger response immediately right after something happens to, and we don't like those kind of people because they can break things, they throw things, they yell, they scream, they carry on, and when they're through their fit, their bout or whatever it is, they can't understand why everybody else is still hurting from it because they feel a lot better.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, when I was at the Chopra Center doing a lot of my learning, David Simon, who is our primary teacher, Deepak's partner, he was talking about the Pitta Dosha, and he said it was like a dragon, you know, and that, you know, the dragon just, just spews
right.
its fire, and there's
its
a village
fire,
right
yeah.
there, you know. And he said, well, the village is scorched, but the dragon feels better.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's a good analogy. And that's the way people who are these, the fire people or the matchhead people, I call it, which really kind of runs in right in with the fire thing, the short-fused mm-hmm. individual, you know, society really doesn't like that person too much because we know the destructive, potential destructive nature of somebody who does that. But on the
right.
other hand, we have the long-fused person. How many times have you heard people say, Joanna, it takes a lot for me to get angry, but
mm-hmm.
but watch out when I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So we admire that because we think that person's more in control. But see, I don't think that's the case. My answer to that is you feel it here, but you don't respond to it till over here. So you feel it here, let's say at number one, and
mm-hmm.
you don't respond till you get to number five. But actually, you felt it at one. And if we can
right.
teach people to express it at one, they never get to five. Because
exactly.
they don't have to, right?
Exactly right. Exactly
so,
right.
So the long-fused person is admired in our society, but they're really not any better off because they look less destructive. But once they get to the volcano stage where it does erupt, you got to watch out. The fire comes out, the lava comes out, the words, the hate speech, the criticisms, the put downs. You know where mm-hmm. it gets to when people get to that point. Now, but they've been holding it in all this time, and we admire that person. But really, so in hypnosis, we work on getting people to become personally aware of the feeling when they first feel it, find
mm-hmm.
a healthy way to express it then, and therefore it never gets to the place where they have to deal with the lava spewing out from the crater.
That's right. You know, one way or another, whether it's lava or the dragon's breath, it's still
it's
scorching
the
village.
right, exactly. I mean,
yeah.
and we know what that does. So,
yeah.
so yeah, I mean, it's a deep, basic emotion that was implanted either by the higher spirit or by nature to protect us against
mm-hmm.
anything that would attack us. But you can see how it can get out of hand because there's
mm-hmm.
a physiological response to anger, right? Our cortisol levels go up. I mean, epinephrine, all the levels of the things, the fight or flight or freeze hormones all go into place at that time. And so we get ready for battle.
Right. That's right. It's the stress response. It's the blood pressure, heart rate goes up, the breathing becomes erratic or stops, the blood flow goes to the extremities so we can fight or flee, and cortisol
mm-hmm.
and adrenaline go up, and even our platelets get stickier in
yep.
preparation for injury. That's how smart our bodies are,
mm-hmm.
which can predispose us to stroke and heart attacks. So it's really our bodies are so intelligent, but we also have to work with them, and that we don't have to operate on the fight or flight response with every little thing. So
yeah, I mean, and we've been taught we know that stuff. But you're in. In an acute circumstance, your body is supposed to do what you just described to protect us, but it
mm-hmm.
shouldn't be chronic. If you're in a hyper or a heightened state of that awareness all the time, or your underlying anger is there all the time, that means your platelets are sticky all the time.
That's
and
right.
And your cholesterol levels are higher, your cortisol levels, and everything is higher where it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to come and go. But for people who are highly stressed or angry people, it's always there. And therefore, as you mentioned, people start having heart attacks. They have all kinds of physiological problems, or unable to sleep. I mean, you go down the list of all the
Absolutely.
Symptoms of all that stuff, you know.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Do you think that anger, I know how I feel about this, but do you think that anger is a surface emotion, or do you think it's deeper than that? Like I feel there's always something deeper. Anger mm-hmm. is just surface. There's always hurt at the bottom of anger. Do you agree with that, or what do you think about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. Anger, I mean, that destructive type anger is symptomatic. It's not the cause. It's the symptom or the manifestation of something that is going this underneath the surface, as you say. And my expression to a person is to say to them that anger is either real or imagined, and it can be. I mean, anger can be a perception of something you think is unjust, and it may not necessarily be. So whether it's real or imagined, your body is going to respond the same way until you become aware of how you're doing that and what happens with it. So mm-hmm. I agree with you on that level, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So getting to the deeper aspect, which is hurt, I find that it's hurt many times. And many times if I can, ask the questions so that it brings up that hurt and the person usually starts to cry, I know I've touched on something that's important. And that in and of itself is a release. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's when people start to cry or they let that out like that, or you can see their faces change because you've touched a nerve or pressed a button or whatever, that's what they need. They need to release it, and they don't know how to do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be having, these issues in a sense. It's very logical when you start thinking about how it all comes about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anger, so people have a feeling. Mm-hmm. It becomes for either frustration or hurt, as you express it. So there's anger. When anger gets heightened so much, then it becomes rage. And we know what happens with rage. It potentially can turn into what, we're going to talk about, and is domestic abuse or abuse, physical abuse in any way to someone. So rage is basically extreme. Heightened anger, and anger is unmanaged frustration, or as you said, a result of somebody being hurt or perceived mm-hmm. being hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have 13 minutes left, so I just want to be mindful of the time and that we do cover the domestic violence aspect of it. What would you like to say about that? It's certainly a problem that is rampant in America and actually all over the world, really, right in our area, I hear, horrific stories about domestic violence and also the trapped feeling that women especially have in these situations. And it's so easy for an outsider to say, well, why don't you just leave? It's not that easy. And, it seems simple, but it's not easy.
No, and it's at the core, it's an individual problem. In other words, for two people to get into an abusive situation, at least one of them has to have some issue with anger. And their mm-hmm. way to get it out is to take that anger out on someone else or on something else. I mean, you've seen people on the golf course or in the tennis court who throw a golf club or they throw a tennis racket or they slam it on the ground or whatever, because that's certainly not a healthy way to express that anger. So at the core, domestic violence begins with an individual. Mm-hmm. One person in a relationship who does those kinds of things. And so I like to say it, anger begets anger. Anger
right.
begets violence. Violence begets anger. And anger begets more violence. And so
right.
it becomes an escalating circumstance for people. And it's a scary circumstance, because the person who's being violated, in a sense, or being, is the target of the anger, doesn't know what to do. So then what happens to their level of anger? It goes up. And so
mm-hmm.
it perpetuates the fight. Or, mm-hmm. and as you said, sometimes people cannot get out of these circumstances. They feel trapped in their circumstances. So with hypnosis, we work specifically on that individual. If they're already in a domestic abuse situation, obviously they need to contact the authorities and get help and get out of there if they can do that. But if they're concerned about the potential of that happening, then we need to work on that individual and then find out what the causes of their anger is. Or so that they don't continue to escalate it.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people have a hard time admitting that they are the problem, that they have an anger issue, or that their frustration levels, you know, reach disproportionate levels, and that they are they instinctively want to blame the other person. That, like, well, if you didn't do this, I wouldn't have to get so angry. Do you find that's
right,
that's the case? Where, in other words, there's no sense of personal responsibility.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I had a client just the other day who was, she was raised in a household where her mother was, super critical of her all the time. And she, you know, all the other children in the house, now they've grown, they've all moved away because they don't want to be in that environment. So I talked to the mom. The mom called me about another thing. So I talked to her, and she said, well, what did you talk about with my daughter? I said, I can't really tell you all that stuff because that's privileged, confidential information. Your daughter's an adult and everything. And she said, well, you know what, Nick, I really, really am always been patient with her. I've never criticized her. I've always supported her in every way. So I can't imagine what she might be upset about. Now, how can you have two totally different perspectives of exactly the same thing, right? You talk about
denial. Because everything is perspective, right?
Right. Right. I mean, so there she is denying. She's denying that she has any role to play in the level of anger that her daughter might have. But the daughter was raised in an environment, you know, for many, many years of never being able to express herself. Everything was wrong with her. I think her family put her on a diet when she was like 10 years old. Something like that. So,
oh my goodness.
So you can see where the stuff does come from. Here's an interesting thought, I think, anyway, Joanna. Anger in itself is a trance. Think of what that is, right? Because when we go in, it's called a fugue state, where your mind, we bypass the right or wrong stage, and now we're in this state of heightened energy, let's call it, right? So that's almost like being in a negative trance.
Right.
Where you do things that you would never want to do in your rational. It's almost like when somebody drinks, they do things when they're drunk that they may not do when they're sober.
Right.
So it's a form anger to that level, especially when it comes to the level of rage, is a form of a negative trance, and it bypasses what hypnotists call the critical factor, which is the part that determines whether we know something's right or wrong, and it overrides our rational thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we start acting irrationally, right? So, I mean,
and usually can see it in hindsight, right? I mean, aren't some of the patterns? I mean, I'm not a domestic abuse expert by any means, but certainly know it goes on. But doesn't the pattern kind of follow that? Like, there's a rage that happens, and whatever abuse takes place, and then there's this, you know, apology or I'm sorry or, you know, it's not going to happen again type of thing, kind of pattern, and then that keeps the person in it, you know, and then you excuse it, you forgive it, you try to move on, and then the same thing happens again with another trigger, and which is really, these are all triggers, you know, that we need to look at.
Yeah, I mean, this is not 100% correct, but in many cases it's true that battered kids tend to grow up to be batterers. It's not always true,
right?
Obviously. There are people who do the exact opposite of that. Now, why does that happen? It happens just the way it does for kids who are cutters, that they cut themselves because it's the way they get to feel. So somebody who's an extremely angry person, that's what they relate to feelings. So they get angry, and that's the only feeling they know how to feel. I mean, so many clients have come by when the only emotion that they can express healthily is anger, because that's the way they've learned to feel something, you know.
Right.
And if people have been beaten up, they're familiar to pain, and pain is their level of feeling, so they inflict pain to feel as well. It's a very strange kind of logic, but it does happen that way a lot of times.
And do you also think that it's really about the person who is angry? In other words, you know, whatever anger you are spewing out or feeling, it's really about something you need to look at within yourself, since relationships mirror, and, you know, we're all reflections of each other. And so when you're triggered by something, it's really your job to look within and find out what that trigger is about and work on that level for true healing, the deepest healing to occur. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I think that's 100% correct. I'm not responsible for someone else's behavior and even their behavior toward me. Now, that doesn't mean I shouldn't be sensitive or aware of the way that the person I'm with responds to things, but I'm not responsible for their behavior.
Right.
You understand? I mean, the person, as you just pointed out, the person, each of us is responsible for our own behavior. Now, we've learned that behavior in many cases, so then it behooves us to unlearn it or to find a better strategy, because that particular strategy is not working. We get into trouble when we act out those kinds of patterns that we were raised with, or that we were frustrated by, or you use the term hurt by in the past.
Mm-hmm. And so in the time remaining, it's about a little over 4 minutes. So how is hypnosis an appropriate therapy, a really wonderful therapy, as opposed to just regular, you know, talk therapy, cognitive therapy, or anything else?
Well,
why is hypnosis a good choice?
Well, it's a good choice because it gets at the root of the cause a lot quicker than talk therapy does. There's a place for everything. So in my practice, I combine talk therapy with hypnotherapy, because I think you can't just treat the conscious mind. That's total talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can just totally treat the subconscious mind. That's hypnotherapy. So I combine the both, because I try to treat the whole person and holistic approach, in other words, to that individual. So it works, because, again, anger is an individual emotion. It can have a collective nature to it if all of us are angry at an injustice that takes place in the world, but each person experiences it on an individual basis. Now, so you said, well, why is hypnosis a better route, let's say, than talk therapy? They both can work. The point is, hypnosis works a whole lot quicker. Instead of going for a year to therapy, people come for a few sessions, and usually they're feeling good, and then they just come back every so often, just as a checkup or a tune-up to help them, if they're having any recurrent issues with those things. So it's a much more profound way and a much more efficient way to get at the cause of the problem, rather than necessarily trying to talk it out forever to find the cause of that problem.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I'm really glad you said that. You know, it's such a wonderful marriage with Ayurveda, because in Ayurveda, everything starts in mind. And, you know, and Ayurveda is about consciousness. And that's really what you're doing, is even getting the unconscious to the conscious. Because even, you know, many times we're unaware of our patterns.
Right.
You know, why do women keep falling in love with men that abuse them? That's a pattern that I find, many times goes back to past lives. But even within this life, and, you know, it's like you have to ask yourself, okay, what's the common denominator here? And what is it within me that is attracting, you know, that type of partner, and what needs to be healed. Ultimately, for all of us, it's what needs to be healed. And when you get at some of the unconscious stuff, it's really about self-love, self-worth, valuing yourself, honoring yourself, and self-care. And that right down to what we put in our mouth and on our body, and, you know, that can also, you know, either heat up our emotions or calm them down. So it's really a very harmonious combination, I think.
I think it is, too. I mean, and everything is important. You know, it's not like one thing is important. Everything is important. We need to take care of ourselves on every level by getting, you know, eating the right kinds of food for our dosha type, let's say, or getting the kind of rest that we need, or drinking the proper liquids that we need. All of those things are unique to each individual. You know, and I think so. Combining Ayurveda and hypnosis is a perfect marriage. It's a great way to approach this together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's even just knowing that when our blood sugar goes low, that it can start to make us feel irritable. And I know that's the case for me if I haven't eaten in many hours, or I'm just trying to push myself a little bit too hard, that makes us irritable and have a shorter fuse. So it's all important, as you said.
I think it's great stuff. So
it
before
is.
We go, I want to tell everybody how they can call me at the Kalyana Center. They can touch base with either of us at the Kalyana Center. But I want to give them another number that's direct for me, and that is 610-718-9365. That's 610-718-9365. That's direct to me, or they can call the Kalyana Center. And what's that number, Joanna?
It is 484-412-9365. 8815. And you can find us always at www.thekalyanacenter.com. And you can also receive a 20% discount on an initial consultation with either Nick or myself when you mention this show. So 20 seconds left. Thanks,
well,
Nick.
Look, it was really great. I do want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and they certainly can come and listen to this in our archive section as often as they would like to do that. But and Joanne, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving as well. And I'm thankful that we've been able to do this show together for such a long time, and I'm thankful for the people who listen to us and hopefully come to see us to help themselves.
Absolutely. I wish you the same and our audience happy Thanksgiving. Really go into your heart and feel what you're grateful for this holiday season. So thanks, everybody. Thank you, Nick. Love doing this with you as well.
Thank you, Joanna. Take care. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.